From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Mark Pinsky is an acclaimed true crime writer who investigated the 2004 murders of Brent and Charlotte Springford of Montgomery. The Springfords' son, Brent Jr., was a promising young man who apparently suffered from a mental illness. He came under the influence of a self-proclaimed shaman and later murdered his parents. Mark Pinsky wrote about the case in a book, Drifting into Darkness, Murder, Madness, Suicide, and a Death Under Suspicious Circumstances. Mark Pinsky, thank you so much for joining us by Skype.
Thanks for having me.
I need to acknowledge that you were born in Florida, and the Florida Panhandle is actually in part of our Troy Public Radio coverage area. So thanks again for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Mark, you're a well-known crime reporter. You have covered crime for the Los Angeles Times. You covered Ted Bundy, the serial killer. Now you turned your attention to a Montgomery story that intrigued the townspeople for many years. How did you get into that story?
I got into the story indirectly. My wife's sister is an attorney and a social worker. She specializes in something called death penalty mitigation. She's from Atlanta, but she does a lot of her work in the Montgomery area and throughout Alabama. She said, I have a book I need you to write. And it's about a case I worked on the defense team in Montgomery, and I felt that there was a miscarriage of justice that I want you to address. She said, I'll send you all my files. And she sent me this tremendous cache of material involving the Springford murders that would have taken me 5 years to research on my own. I said, okay, let's go ahead and do this book.
Take us back to 2004 and tell us what happened.
Well, it was on Thanksgiving weekend. Brent Springford Sr. and Charlotte Springford had celebrated Thanksgiving with their daughter and Charlotte's half-sister in Birmingham. And they came back after their Thanksgiving dinner, opened the door to their home in the Garden District, and in short order, they were both bludgeoned to death by their son, Brent Springford Jr., with an axe handle and later a knife. It was a brutal scene and shocked and horrified all of Montgomery.
The research that you've done in your book reflected how desperately they tried to get help for Brent Jr. because he had mental issues. So he moved out of the state, and then what happened?
Well, he developed an interest while he was at Vanderbilt in New Age religions, but also Hinduism and Buddhism. And after much study and travel around the country, he gravitated to Boulder, Colorado, where he enrolled in a Buddhist university called Naropa. And while there, as fate would have it, in his spiritual search, he crossed paths with a woman who claimed to be a Native American shaman and fell under her spell. Before too long, she became a surrogate caregiver for him because his mental condition was deteriorating. And his parents, Charlotte and Brent Sr., were very concerned about the state of his mind. They knew he was deteriorating, and they tried to enlist this woman into making sure that he would get psychiatric care out in the Denver, Colorado area.
The Springford Seniors had bought their son a nice house in Colorado, and the woman moved in. In reality, she was Hispanic from California, wasn't she?
That's correct.
How long were they together? What was their relationship?
For 3 or 4 years, they were together. Initially, Brent Jr. considered this woman his spiritual guide. She convinced the Springford Seniors that she was going to be his caregiver. And she began to get him into periodic psychiatric care, including 4 different psychiatrists, 2 different periods of voluntary commitment for observation out west. But she was also in the caretaker role. She was basically extracting large amounts of money from Brent Jr.'s parents, ostensibly to take care of him, but it grew and grew and grew, hundreds of thousands of dollars over, I would say, 4 or 5 years. At some point, although Charlotte had her suspicions about the motives of this woman, Brent Sr. decided that he was being played. And 6 weeks before the murder, he told Brent Jr. and this woman that they were cutting them off financially. 6 weeks after that, Brent gets on a bus in Boulder, Colorado, and rides through the night to Montgomery, broke into the house while his parents were away, and basically laid in wait for them as they returned from Thanksgiving dinner.
law enforcement got involved, and then what happened?
It took a lot of diligent police work in order to decide what had happened, that he had gone and done the murder. There was a question initially because this woman, this shaman, with whom he was living, and later it turned out to whom he was secretly married, had initially claimed that he was there out in Colorado the whole time. Later she said she was confused and she took back the story, but she provided him with an alibi until the alibi fell apart, and then she abandoned him.
Mark, I want you to read a part of your book because Brent Jr. ended up in jail. How did he respond to being incarcerated?
Initially, jail seemed okay to Brent. He saw himself as a monk in a cell, a condition that had been his ambition for years. He said, "As long as I have books and coffee, I actually love being in cell 24/7. It was fortunate that he felt that way because the cell would become his home for 3 years while the case progressed in frustrating fits and starts toward trial. Brent's main source of solace and relative stability were his books, the books that Bill Blanchard had brought to him, and a small radio that he usually tuned to the Montgomery area radio station."
What happened to Brent Jr. and the supposed Native American shaman?
Well, what happened, a capital murder case, which is what it began with when Brent was extradited back to Montgomery, can take a lot of time back and forth, particularly when there's an issue of mental competence. So it took at least 3 years before the case resolved itself. And in the end, on the advice of counsel, Brent Jr. pleaded guilty and received a sentence of life in prison without parole, with the understanding that he would be in a secure psychiatric prison unit. Unfortunately, and after several years, after threatening to kill himself, he basically saved up some medications that he was prescribed, took them all at once, and died of liver failure. What my sister-in-law brought to me was the fact that this woman who claimed to be a Native American shaman was never brought to justice. Brent Jr. remained under her sway so much that he would not implicate her, so she escaped justice completely. And that's why my sister-in-law came to me and said, "You need to write a book that will give this woman the trial she never had." And that's what I tried to do in the years that followed. Unfortunately, while the process was in effect and we were getting closer and closer to bringing her to trial, she died of natural causes. And so there was never any final judicial ruling.
So, Mark, as a reporter who covers social justice and crime issues, what are the lessons here?
Well, the lessons are that the best of intentions are sometimes not enough. In reading Charlotte Springford's journals and emails and letters and those of Brent Sr., they did everything they could to try to save their son. Formally and informally, with money and with counseling, they did everything they could to try to bring him to some sort of treatment. Because in Charlotte Springford's family, there had been bipolar disorder for 3 generations. But she didn't tell Brent Jr. about that because she didn't want him to feel it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. And as he began his descent into bipolar disorder, she explored treatment programs at Duke and Harvard, because once he was over 18, there was no way that unless he could be demonstrated to be a danger to himself or others, that he could be involuntarily committed. So they did everything they could as parents to try to save this young man, and they just couldn't do it.
I want to thank you for letting us know the whole story today.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for letting me talk about this book.
Joining us by Skype was Mark Pinsky, author of the book Drifting into Darkness, Murder, Madness, Suicide, and a Death Under Suspicious Circumstances. This Thursday on June 9th at 5:30 p.m., Mark Pinsky will present a book talk at Reed Herring Books at 105 South Court Street in downtown Montgomery. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is now a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is Troy Public Radio.